Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us and starting your weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Lackey.
That would be a little weird. Wherever you know who's not lacking? Strange Brew Coffee House.
Ooh, very good. Very good.
Especially in the cold months where we are right
which
now.
Which is where we are right now. If you are in the middle of the winter wonderland, and you're thinking, gosh, I wish I had some great coffee or hot chocolate to warm me up. Well, it's easy to find. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Before our next winter attack, make sure you order some. It'll be shipped down to you, and you can enjoy a nice warm beverage on a frosty, cold Mississippi morning.
Like today.
Like today. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. Just a random aside here. So, I went for a walk today. It'll tie in. Don't worry. Went for a walk today, and I was like, I'm going to wear some gloves. It's so cold outside, I'm going to wear gloves, right? The only gloves I own, I have two pairs of barbecue gloves. One is much thicker than the other one, so I was going to like, I'll wear those, right? Which would have been funny to see me walking out on the streets with gloves that said Hardcore Carnivore, but whatever. But I left one of my gloves outside by the grill the last time I was out there, and I went outside to get it frozen solid. I've never picked up a glove. It was just like that. Just like
that's like the coal miner's glove. Yeah, so if you don't have anything packed in there, it's just a glove.
It's just a glove. So I had to wear my other glove. I wear my other barbecue gloves today. But I will wear my barbecue gloves again very soon the next time I'm out there grilling, and there will definitely be beef on the grill because nothing beats the sizzle of beef. When you are looking to cook out this weekend, if it's cold, I'm telling you, the easiest way to warm up is to fire up the grill and stand next to it. It's just direct heat. You can't go wrong with that, and you can't go wrong with beef. It's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. If you're looking for, I don't know, jackets, pullovers, do they have full parkas available at College Corner? I don't know, but we need something to get us through this cold weather. And if you want MSU gear that has the logos that you want on it, you're going to get it at College Corner. Two locations down there in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. And what more can I say to you on that one? I mean, we love Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in town this weekend, you definitely need to grab at least one meal there. Maybe Friday night for, Saturday dinner is going to be tough, but Friday night for dinner or Sunday afternoon for brunch, fantastic ideas. You'll be having a good time, a great meal if you just walk in the door at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. If you're already a Priority One Bank customer, you know how great the app is. Speaking of you know, where you can find Priority One, their mobile app is not just about moving money around. It's a smooth, streamlined financial app. You can do a lot more on there than just move your money around. You can do everything you can do in any Priority One Bank branch or do whatever you do online at PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We have a shout-out to give today. I was told by my youngest daughter, Emily, to shout-out her English teacher and her husband, who are regular listeners to the podcast, Drew and Sydney. Let me make sure I get the last name right. It would be a damn shame to say all that and then not get the get it right there. Drew and Sydney Warnock. So shout out to them. I was told her grades are not great in that class. We're gonna need to push those.
You're trying to suck up is what it is.
I'll do anything for my children. All right.
Well, for Drew and Sydney, you said?
Yeah, Sydney is the teacher.
I appreciate y'all listening. I'm not trying to suck up for anything.
Right.
This is a sincere.
Oh, I appreciate them listening, regardless.
Brian is trying to get his daughter better grades.
I got to do what I got to do. God knows she can't do it alone. She needs the help. Use whatever power I have.
Just, you're, don't you? This is English?
Yeah.
She don't speaks you speak English.
A D in English. Emily, you speak English. Yeah, that's that. I'm literally living that.
Can't help her out a little bit.
I mean, if she ever comes to me, you know, English is it's my first language, so I would think I could help her, but yeah, whatever. But anyway, shout out to the Warnicks. We appreciate you guys tuning in each and every morning. If you would like a shout out, Robbie and I, our tips are open on Twitter. You feel free to hit us up. Mississippi State, Kentucky, this Saturday, big game. Big atmosphere. You know, I think the weather, it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be bad today, but I think by the time we get to, you know, Saturday afternoon, if you're looking at like 1 o'clock in Jackson, you're like, the road should be clear. We'll be good. I think we're going to be okay on the crowd on this one. Two teams that can score, and that was not the case, you know, last year with Mississippi State, right? You would not have said that's a team that offensively was in a good spot. One thing that strikes me about these two teams, they're both very balanced in their scoring. In the interview we have coming up with Cameron Drummond, he makes a comment that Kentucky has not had the same leading scorer two games in a row all season long. They have six guys averaging double figures. Mississippi State, you know, is sort of the same way, right? Any given night with Mississippi State, somebody new could be the leading scorer. You know, Melendez was this past Tuesday. Game before that, it's Hubbard. The game before that, it's Kugel. The game before that, it was I forget who it was against Memphis. Was it Keyshawn? I don't remember.
It was, I think it was Kugel.
May have been Kugel. But, I mean, it's been different guys all year long. So, it's impossible to kind of pin down, in my opinion. It's hard to pin down just like, hey, if you limit this guy, you got a great chance to win. It's going to be about playing team defense and not allowing a lot of trouble. Both of these teams also value the basketball. They don't turn the ball over very much, and that was one of the reasons that Georgia was able to beat Kentucky, as they were able to force an inordinate amount of turnovers for the Wildcats. So for me, that's what it's really going to come down to. When you look at this Mississippi State team, Robbie, though, this is a Mississippi State team that should be playing a very, very confident brand of basketball when you consider how the last few games have been, and now being at home, mentally this team should be in a really good spot.
Yeah, they've been kind of there to answer the call all season long, with the exception of that Butler loss. And since then, I think they've really played well. And, you know, it's kind of strange. Like, I feel like this team's playing much better basketball without Kanye Clary. And I wouldn't have predicted that, because I don't think any of the guys that are handling the basketball are true point guards like Clary is. Mm-hmm. But they found a way to make it work. And maybe that is affecting Josh Hubbard a little bit. He's not playing off the ball as much as you want him to, potentially. Could be. I don't know. But they've kind of found a sweet spot, especially, you know, Christian's talked about it the other night with his starting lineup. It appears that he's kind of found his group there. I think he said the same lineup for the last several games. And it looks like State's starting to get more comfortable there. Their rotations have been really good. I thought the rotations against Vandy were really good. There was a stretch there in the second half. That group really struggled to score, but I don't know if that had a whole lot to do with the, you know, the rotation as much as it was Cam Matthews being in foul trouble. But I think right now what you have is the team is playing very confident. They're starting to come into their own on the defensive end. That's what's really impressed me is, you know, all season long, Jans has talked about the fact, you know, this isn't going to be the same team defensively. And the numbers have really backed it up. It hasn't been as strong as a defensive team as far as the metrics are concerned. But make no mistake about it, they will still cause fits on that end. Very good at fighting through screens. It's tough to get good shots off against them a lot of times because of the pressure that they can provide up front. And they've been really good in the post, too. The way that they've kind of closed in on offensive playmakers in the post when they get the ball in their hands, it's been very difficult for teams to score on them down low. You know, Keyshawn Murphy, I think, has added a lot with his length down there. Michael Nwoko's kind of the same thing. And then obviously Cam Matthews with his physicality. They've been impressive on the defensive end. I think they're getting better. That's where this game's going to be won or loss.
Yeah.
And this is usually a game that goes down to the wire between State and Kentucky. But it wouldn't shock me, you know, if Mississippi State wins this ball game, it wouldn't shock me if you see it very early in this game.
Mm.
Like we've seen in these big games the State's played where they come out and just absolutely put a stranglehold on teams.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't shock me if you can tell very early that State's in control. And like all the big games they've won this year, you can kind of see it very early in the ball game. Even, you know, against Vanderbilt, I know it got kind of squirrely, but it always felt like State was pretty much in control of that ball game, didn't it? I mean, same thing at Memphis. We kept thinking that Memphis was going to get back in it, but they never did.
I'll tell
Pittsburgh,
you,
too, is South Carolina. Robbie,
being at the game in Memphis, when State got out to the, what was it? It was like 21-6 or something like that. It was pretty obvious that how that game was going to go the rest of the way. I know, you know, Memphis made a couple of runs, but when I say made a couple of runs, I mean they cut it to 11 to 12. State controlled that game from the tip. They controlled the Pitt game from the tip. They controlled South Carolina from the tip. And then against Vanderbilt, you know, what was it? I think it was 12-11 Vandy when State gets the lead and they never gave it back, led by as many as 22. Obviously, we saw the run that let Vandy get back in the game, but when the play had to be made to win the game, State made it. And that's a great sign for the Bulldogs. You mentioned physicality, and that's where State has its biggest advantage. Kentucky is not a very physical basketball team, and Mississippi State obviously is. And so, you know, with Matthews, Nwoko, Murphy, and even the physicality of State's guards, Melendez, I mean, I guess not really a guard, a wing, you know, but Kugel and Harris are also physical guards as well. Outside of Hubbard, basically everybody State puts on the floor has some physicality about them. And I really do think that's going to be a big, big issue in this game for Kentucky. Georgia was able to push Kentucky around a little bit and you know, make dirty up the game. State's perfectly comfortable. We saw that Tuesday night. They're comfortable. If the game starts getting messy and sloppy, Mississippi State can thrive in that. I think that's the biggest factor in this game, is that State can beat up Kentucky a little bit, and I don't know if Kentucky can return that favor.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, trying to get Amari Williams in foul trouble early on in this ball game. He's been really good for them. That's a guy that I know Mississippi State coaches still, you know, they can't sleep at night from missing him. They felt like they had a good shot at landing him. And there's no doubt about it. If he was on this team right now, I mean, I don't know where they'd be at this point, because he is that true center. And he's been really good this year. He's averaging almost a double-double, 10 points, 8 rebounds, big physical presence. I'm trying to get him on the bench. I'm trying to take him out of the ball game. I think that gives you a lot of leverage at that point if you're able to take him out of the game. This is a team that can really shoot it too. I mean, Kobe Brea has been unquestionably to me the best shooter in the SEC and possibly the country this year, averaging 50%. From three-point range, which is just absolutely insane. And he has 19 more made three-pointers than anybody else on the team. So that's a guy you're going to have to worry about coming off the bench. But at the same time, you know, he might be a guy that gets his. Are you able to kind of lock down everybody else? You know, if he's a guy that hits 6 or 7 three-pointers, you want to keep those three-pointers under 10, hopefully, in this game. I think State can stay in a shootout. I think they have the guys that can do that. But to me, I think it's a game that State needs to muddy up a little bit, a lot like they did against Vanderbilt. You know, obviously you want to get hot from three, and that'd be great too. But on the defensive end, State still needs to limit what they're doing to make sure they have a chance to win this game. Yeah, anytime somebody calls me on my phone, just behind the scenes here, my screen flips over, so it makes me angry when people call me.
You got to airplane mode it before we go on, man.
I can't. I don't think I can get on the internet with any airplane mode.
That's another. I don't know. If you're on Wi-Fi,
if I can Zoom with airplane mode,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Oh well. I hate to do it, you know, because my record in these situations is not great, but I guess I won't predict State to win, but I really feel confident State can get this game. You know, obviously Kentucky could come in here and win this game. They're a good basketball team. They've got plenty of talent. But I just feel like things are moving in State's direction right now, and I feel like the things that State does well kind of cancel out the things that Kentucky can do. And then on the other side of it, Kentucky will have trouble with State and the way they play basketball, the way that they are physical about it. I really feel like State has some advantages in this game they haven't had against Kentucky in a long time. And you mentioned, you know, three-point shooting. You think back a year ago to the showdown between Hubbard and Reed Shepard and how incredible that was. I don't know that I would love to see Hubbard have another game like that, obviously. I don't know that Kentucky has an answer if that happens, though. If Hubbard starts hitting and he gets hot from three, they don't have a Reed Shepard on this team that can come and answer that bucket for bucket. So I really like State's chances in this game.
Yeah, I do too. And playing at home too, you know, like I don't know about Kentucky yet in those kind of environments. Is it under Mark Pope? I mean, I feel like this team's going to be good, but we just saw them lose at Georgia. I don't know what the read is on them right now. We're going to find out, obviously, on Saturday. But I think this game's going to tell us a lot about Kentucky, maybe more so than Mississippi State. I think we know a lot about Mississippi State at this
Agreed.
Point. I think even if they lose this game, you don't want to lose it, but even if they lose this game, I think they're still in good shape. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out about Kentucky post John Calipari here, because I think what we've seen from Mark Pope at this point is very good. Obviously getting a win like they did against Florida, very good. You're red hot in that ball game, and it was at home. How do they handle losing at Georgia and coming into what's going to be a raucous environment at the Hump? I expect it to be a hard sellout. They're closing in on selling out tickets on Ticketmaster too. So, I mean, it's about to be a very tough ticket. So I expect the crowd to be juiced up, excited. How does Kentucky handle that? Because you know State's probably going to deliver a punch in that ball game. And this is a team that they can go on a run. They can shut you down for 5 minutes from scoring.
Yeah.
How does Kentucky handle that? With how teams have been playing at home, especially this year early on, I'm siding with Mississippi State as well right now, and it's hard to make that pick. I don't know how many times I've made that pick, mm-hmm. State over Kentucky, in the last 20 years, almost 20 years. It hadn't come around. So this is a game I think State can get. Playing at home, you need to get it. You really need to win this ball game to continue to kind of solidify your status. And, hey, you got some tough games in the next couple of weeks. You got to go to Tennessee and to Auburn. You host Alabama. You host Ole Miss. This stretch right here is huge, and you have to kind of stay steady here. And this is a game they really need to get. With it being at home, you need to take every available home game, moving forward through the conference schedule.
All right, let's get the other side of this equation with the Kentucky perspective. I talked earlier today to Cameron Drummond. He covers the Wildcats for the Lexington Herald Leader. Let's get his thoughts on Mississippi State, Kentucky, and this Wildcat team. So joining us now on the podcast, Cameron Drummond. He covers the Wildcats for the Lexington Herald Leader. And Cameron, kind of a tale of two teams, these first two SEC games. The team I saw play and win on Saturday against Florida was not the same team that I saw get handled pretty easily against Georgia. What was Georgia able to do against Kentucky that Florida could not?
Yeah, there were certainly a lot of factors that kind of differed that Florida game from the Georgia game. You know, you saw that high energy, high scoring performance against Florida. Obviously, I think the Rupp Arena crowd had a lot to do with that. You know, we've seen Kentucky go on the road a couple times this season now, Clemson and Georgia, and really get out-physicaled, out-muscled, out-bullied. Obviously, foul trouble was a huge concern for Kentucky in that Georgia game. And it just never really felt like they approached that game with the right tenacity. Offensive rebounding that Kentucky he's allowing from opponents, rebounding in general, second chance points has been a bit of a negative theme. Even in that Florida game, the Gators kind of destroyed them on the boards. Mississippi State obviously is another really good offensive rebounding team, and that's kind of an area of the contest that a lot of people have circled. And the three-point shooting dried up as well. You know, I feel kind of reductionist just saying that a basketball game came down to a team making shots or not making shots, but Kentucky's three-point shooting from the game against Florida certainly did not translate to the Georgia game. Kobe Bray is three-point shooting in particular. Jackson Robinson's in a real cold stretch, both scoring overall and from behind the arc. So when you're not hitting your three-pointers as Kentucky, when you're not staying connected on the glass, and when you're fouling at the rate that Kentucky did against Georgia, where the Bulldogs shot, I think, 19 more free throws than Kentucky, especially in this modern 2025 SEC, you're not going to be winning many road games. And I think that's a big reason why a lot of people are considering that 18-game regular season winning streak against the Bulldogs to be in real peril for the Cats this weekend, just because going in the SEC, you cannot afford to lose in three or four major categories like that in the box score.
And you mentioned the physicality, and that's what Mississippi State's kind of their hallmark has been under Chris Chans. Maybe not the same this year as it's been years past. They don't really have that banger down low in Tolu Smith, but it's still a very physical, aggressive basketball team. Just from your point of view, do you think that's a bad matchup for Kentucky?
I think it can be, and I especially look at a guy like Cameron Matthews, you know, a guy who some of the really advanced analytics sites out there, I know me and my colleagues at the Herald Leader love using Evan Mayakawa and his evanmaya.com website. He's got Cam Matthews rated as the best defender in the SEC, you know, big guy who can average 2.5 steals per game. And you mentioned, or as I did a second ago, just the offensive rebounding that Mississippi State is known for as a top 20, top 30 team in that metric per KenPom. You know, you look at some of the players even aside from Matthews, like Kashawn Murphy could pose some issues on the boards for Kentucky, especially if a guy like Amari Williams is going to get into foul trouble. We saw a bit of Andrew Carr foul trouble against Georgia as well. You know, for all the depth that Kentucky does like to say it has, especially in the front court, things get pretty thin there if an Amari Williams or a Brandon Garrison or an Andrew Carr pick up some early fouls. And that could, you know, really pave the way for Mississippi State to have another strong rebounding performance, you know, whether it's any of those guys, Murphy, Matthews, Nwoko, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope.
Nwoko, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, Mississippi State's got these big physical bruising guys who can punish you on the glass, can draw fouls, can maybe bait some of Kentucky's bigs into getting in kind of that situation. And so from that standpoint, considering it's a Saturday night game at the Hump as well, I'm sure that crowd will be in full voice. I think there are plenty of reasons to have this game with a big flashing red indicator, you know, for reasons that Kentucky could have some problems, especially given the quick turnaround from Georgia, the travel back and forth to Kentucky with some big snowfall and Lexington has been a bit erratic of late as well. So there's a lot of kind of distractions and things even within the game, within Mississippi State's skill set, that kind of could pose some problems for the Wildcats on Saturday.
Two of the top three-point shooters in all of college basketball in this game with Josh Hubbard and Kobe Bray. Bray, a ridiculous 47 of 95, almost 50% from behind the arc. You know, that's a guy that I don't know if a lot of college basketball fans had their eye on him coming into this season, but he has really delivered for the Wildcats. Their scoring is so balanced. I think they have six guys in double figures. Is he the guy the Bulldogs need to have the biggest eye on, or who would that be for the Wildcats?
Well, I certainly think he's one of them. And the thing about Kobe Bray as well, he got off to an insanely hot three-point shooting start. I think through maybe five or six games this season, he was above a 70% three-point shooter. You know, a mark that you know is going to come down and regress to the mean a little bit, but nonetheless, a guy that you need to be attentive of and pay attention to. You mentioned Kentucky's scoring balance. I think one of the most interesting things, or kind of one of the craziest stats that explains this, is the fact that Kentucky's played, 14 games so far this season, and they haven't 15 games, and they haven't had the same leading scorer in consecutive games single time. They've gone, I think, five or six players deep, you know, between Otega Owe, who really came on strong to start the season. We've seen Lamont Butler, especially in that showcase game against Louisville, explode for 33 points. He led Kentucky with 20 against Georgia as well, even though that was kind of an offensive dud across the board. So there's several guys that I think Mississippi State needs to be conscious of. Brea, I think, from a three-point shooting perspective, is certainly the guy to keep tabs on, because he's really the guy that can hurt you. Lamont Butler's shooting 40.5% from three, but I think there's so many things with a Lamont Butler as a playmaker, as a defender. You kind of have to pick your poison for what you're going to allow him to do against you successfully. So Bray leads the way in the three-point shooting category, but Otega Owe really has been the most important offensive player for Kentucky this season because of his ability to penetrate, his ability to beat guys off the dribble, get 2 feet in the paint, play make from there. He's not got a super high assist total, but once he's able to get by your perimeter defense and put pressure on the rim. That has affected how a lot of defenses have tried to combat Kentucky's offense, and especially given the way that Kentucky likes to shoot a bunch of three-pointers. Not quite the 35 per game that Mark Pope promised in the offseason, but nonetheless still a high three-point shooting volume team. A lot of that success, a lot of those quality looks come from a guard like an Otega Owe beating you off the dribble, establishing that penetration early on. And something else to watch has just been the play of Kentucky's bigs on the offensive end, because Mark Pope and Cody Feger, the assistant who runs UK's offense, they really like to use bigs in a playmaking role. We've seen this in a good way and in a bad way with Amari Williams specifically this season in terms of his turnover totals, the decisions he makes when they toss him the ball in the high post or when he comes up to the top of the key and initiates. So if Mississippi State's bigs can have some solid defense on Kentucky's bigs in terms of turning them over early and just forcing them in uncomfortable situations where they're not able to act as a proper offensive hub, I think those are going to be the real areas of Kentucky's offense that Chris Jans and the Bulldogs defense should be keying in on.
This is, you know, kind of a problem for everybody in the SEC this year, but the next few weeks for Kentucky are pretty damn tough. They are at Mississippi State, then they host Texas A&M and Alabama. They get a little bit of a reprieve for the trip to Nashville, but that can be a tough place to play. And then they have to go to number one Tennessee, number one at the time. You know, they won't be when we get to Monday. Is this? I don't know if you can call a game against Mississippi State a must-win game for Kentucky, but it feels like the stakes are really high for Kentucky in this one.
Well, you mentioned all those games, and that's just the next five-game run-up for Kentucky in the SEC schedule. Then the game after that Tennessee game, oh, John Calipari and Arkansas are coming back to Rupp Arena, right? So you literally, I mean, it's the biggest cliche in college basketball this season, but there are no nights off in the SEC. And I think the State game, in a vacuum, is important in terms of just stabilizing yourself, finally getting a true road win before that becomes a festering issue that keeps getting brought up time and time again. Obviously, it'd be a top 15 win at the time. Kentucky's already got three top 10 wins this season. And the way that the SEC is, you're probably going to drop a game here or there, even against perhaps an unranked or unexpected opponent like Georgia. So you can never have too many of those quality quad one opportunities on your schedule. But I also think in the macro sense, I mean, you start SEC play 1-2 this season. At any point that you drop below 500 in conference play, you can easily see a path not only to, you know, maybe picking up some victories and getting back above that mark, but it's not crazy to think that Kentucky could spiral to a 3-5 SEC record, you know, 4-4 SEC record, whatever it may be. So I think the State game is almost important purely from the standpoint of you don't want to fall behind the chains early. You know, I know the CFP is still going on, so not to borrow a football analogy, but you can't get into 2nd-13 or 2nd-14 in the SEC this season, right? And that's obviously easier said than done. You know, it's obviously the historical thing I mentioned earlier with just continuing to try and stack some of these wins over Mississippi State and at Starkville and at Humphrey Coliseum. But that all being said, Kentucky falling to 1-2 in SEC play this year, you can easily see that becoming 1-3, 1-4, what have you. So I think Kentucky just needs a solid bounce back performance, especially given the way that the Georgia game was just kind of an all systems clunker, whether it was defense, physicality, rebounding, fouling, all that stuff. Kentucky needs to bounce back in a big way and show that, frankly, it has the toughness to compete for a top four spot in the SEC this season. And if you're going to finish top four in this league this year, it's going to require doing something like winning a game on the road at Mississippi State.
Both of these teams value the basketball. They're both really good assist to turnover. Is that going to be the biggest factor in this game? Whoever can turn over the other one the most is probably going to end up winning.
I think so, too, and that's interesting you bring that up, because that was another part of the all-systems offensive failure for Kentucky at Georgia. I believe they only had 8 assists against 15 or 16 turnovers, which is, you know, pretty unlike this Kentucky team this season. But when Kentucky's offense hasn't flowed well, when they have had some low-scoring performances, it's been just that as the culprit. Ball movement not sticking, the assist totals low, the turnover totals high, or at least higher. You know, Mark Pope always likes to say, that's not us, when a certain facet of the game doesn't go the way that Kentucky intended it to go. The assist to turnover ratio against Georgia was certainly unlike the Kentucky team we've seen the most of this season. You know, just the fact that Kentucky allowed so many free throws, the fact that the ball movement was sticking, that Kentucky wasn't getting to the rack, putting enough pressure on the rim to generate open quality three-point shooting looks. All that stuff kind of goes into, you know, perimeter defense, interior defense. And so to your point, I think the team that is able to successfully turn over the other team, maybe that's not the only thing you're going to to be able to do to win this basketball game, but certainly going to be a high marker. You know, Kentucky will still come in to this contest, I believe, top five in the nation in offensive turnover percentage. I know that number went up a tick after the Georgia defeat, but nonetheless, this team is one that values the basketball, you know, kind of with Lamont Butler as the head of the snake in that regard. He's still been battling a niggling ankle injury that's bothered him for the last month, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And so, you know, if that's something that's not quite 100%, especially as we get into this grueling Tuesday-Saturday SEC basketball turnaround, you know, that could be an issue for Kentucky, especially given the fact that, you know, Kirk Creasa is still out with his own foot surgery, so they don't have a true backup point guard. So a lot's on the shoulders of Lamont Butler to initiate offense, have that high assist-to-turnover ratio, and that's kind of the straw that has stirred Kentucky's drink from that standpoint so far this season.
Kind of interesting similarities there between Kentucky and Mississippi State with Kanye Clary out for Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. State doesn't really have that backup point guard as well. Should be a very interesting game, and the winner of this game is going to be in a really good spot in the SEC. The loser is going to have some work in front of them because of just how difficult this conference is. Cameron Drummond, Lexington Herald Leader, man, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Cameron. Appreciate his time. Good stuff from him. I told him after the thing went off, I was like, hey, are you coming this weekend? He's like, yeah. He's like, no, but some of the other guys from the paper are coming. And I was just like, you tell him to layer up.
not for the walk inside the hump, but when you get inside the hump.
He said the last time he was here, it was during when they were renovating the hump, and he said it was really hot. I was like, that's not a problem anymore. In fact, it's the opposite. You need to wear layers when you come to sit in media sitting now.
So. Yes, prepare accordingly.
Yes. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. It's a real simple concept. You are a business owner. You want customers to come in. You need them to know more about you and your business. The way to do that is with outstanding printing and marketing, and that's what Pip Printing and Signs provides. So it's an easy decision. You want to work with the best. You want the best working for you. That's what Pip Printing and Signs can bring to you. Call Cam Baker today at 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. Tell him you're a Mississippi State fan to get 10% of your sale directly going to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. You become a Bulldog Initiative business without having to spend any extra money. You already spend money on printing. Spend it with Pip Printing and Signs. Help your business. Help Mississippi State. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Is it going to be the place to find you and I tomorrow evening before this game? Are you going to go to this? You want to go?
Why not?
Let's do it. Thunder and Lightning will be there. We'll be there.
We'll find the Mississippi State Basketball Tip-Off Society.
We'll join the Tip-Off Society at Two Brothers Smoked Meats starting at 5 p.m. on Saturday. Come by, enjoy some food. We'll enjoy some laughs. You can make a donation to the State Excellence Fund while you're there, and it's going to be a good time. And you can enjoy also, the best part is you get to enjoy some great food. Which I will be more than happy to do because I love Two Brothers like very few people do. It's one of my favorite places. I'm always so happy when I go there.
So yes.
We'll go by there and enjoy some food there. Or perhaps some other time next week we could go back to the Older Brother. It's been too long since we have been in the Older Brother. Starkville's best new restaurant. I got a hankering for a fancy sandwich. So there's only one there is literally only one place in town that can scratch that itch. And that's going to have to be at the Older Brother. The Older Brother, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, two fantastic places right there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
50. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, new laptops, whatever it is. They've got great name brands, great prices, but most importantly, they have the service after the sale that you are looking for. They have that level of service you can't get from the big box brands. Those big box companies, you buy something from them, you got a problem, you're on hold for 45 minutes. You're talking to somebody halfway around the world who doesn't know you, doesn't care. They're going to give you an appointment with some out-of-state guy. Maybe he can be there in a week. So your copier is broken, and now you're going to have to wait a week to get it fixed? That's ludicrous. Don't do that. Advantage Business Systems is a 601 number. You talk to the person who you talked to when you made the sale, and because they're in Mississippi just like you, they're going to be able to help you out a lot, lot faster, sometimes the same day. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the hump this weekend, you need to go to Maroon & Co. You need to go check out the great selection of MSU gear available only at Maroon & Co. I mean, I would suggest buying a new jacket, but hey, you know, spring will be here sooner or later. You can get a t-shirt, you can get a baseball hat, whatever you want to do.
My wife sent me this awesome quarter zip the other day, State Script quarter zip. Looked amazing, fresh off the shelves, fresh on the shelves, I guess, at Maroon & Company. I'm going to have to give Slide by, I think, at some point. Well,
good news, Robbie. I can save you some money on that purchase. Use our promo
code.
Thunder 15, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Although I've mentioned it before, I've used that code like three or four different times, and I've never been told no. So I don't know where the exclusions are, but they're few and far between.
You have a very good chance of whatever you get at Maroon & Company being included into that.
Exactly. So before you go to the hump Saturday, make a trip over to Maroon & Co. Robbie, there's been a lot of kiss of death talk in Mississippi State portal recruitings. Something happens, they're like, oh, there's the kiss of death. You and I got a little taste of that yesterday, or did we? I don't know the answer to this question yet, but we talked about how confident Mississippi State was in signing Illinois offensive lineman Zy Chrysler, and then we wake up on Thursday morning, and Pete Thamel of ESPN, not necessarily known as a recruiting/portal guy, He's reporting that he spoke to Chrysler, and Chrysler's saying, I've committed to Colorado. So that, you know, now, no tweet from Chrysler, nothing from Colorado, just this tweet from Pete Thamel. A few hours go by, your coworker Paul Jones reports that he spoke with Chrysler, who said, I haven't committed anywhere. I'll be honest, I don't know what's going on. I tend to think whenever there's drama, Mississippi State doesn't win out in the end. But it is just add it to the list of unusual portal situations we've seen over the last few years.
This is how difficult it is covering recruiting, because you can only report what you know at the time. You know, people always talk about, well, you missed on this and this. Well, it's recruiting, and things change by the hour. And as of 1:30 p.m., sources we've talked to, plus the source, the kid that Paul talked to, have said he's not committed. And I'm not questioning Pete Thamel's reporting. I think he's 100% accurate in the information he was given at the time. I'm sure that, you know, the agents probably had something to do with that too. But as of right now, 1:30 p.m. on Thursday as we're recording this, he says he is not committed. And some other sources that we've talked to have said he's not committed anywhere as well. So there appears to be some kind of hang up here. And by the time people are listening to it, it's likely to have changed once again. But as of right now, there appears to be no confirmation that he is committed to Colorado. And was kind of a weird commitment anyway. I don't think they have an offensive line coach yet.
They do not. Their offensive line coaches here in Starkville.
Their offensive line coaches at Mississippi State. From what I understand, his family was telling people yesterday, Wednesday, they were excited about him coming to Mississippi State. They felt like that's where he was going to end up. He left his visit, and all things were go for him to become a Bulldog. And that's what's really strange about how all this came out is Wednesday, he was going to be committed to Mississippi State. Wednesday night, all of a sudden, he's out of nowhere, he's committed to Colorado. It seems to have been some kind of hang up or something that has kind of prevented this from going all the way through. So we'll continue to monitor it. I don't think it's over by any means as we sit here right now. I don't know what's going to happen with the kid, but you know, we'll sit here and watch it together, I guess.
Yeah. The other two names we talked about on yesterday's show, Aiden Williams, the receiver from Ole Miss, and I forgot the kid's name. Is it Jonathan Evans?
Anthony Evans.
Anthony Evans. I don't know why I had Jonathan in my head. Anthony Evans. Still continue to hear positive things regarding those two recruitments as well. Would not be surprised if by the time we get to Saturday, Sunday, they're both in the boat for Mississippi State. Now, as soon as we've said that, they will end up at, let's send Aiden Williams to Baylor, And we'll send Anthony Evans to Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Just random schools.
As of today, when he's on his visit to Mississippi State, he doesn't have any visits set up, but one of those deals where you want to have him committed in the next day or so,
yeah,
and not have to worry about him setting up any other visits. I think he's been to SMU. State mm-hmm. feels really good about it. They feel really good
East
about
Carolina as well, if I'm correct.
That was Aiden Williams.
Oh, okay. I mistook. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Aiden Williams. My bad.
No. Aiden Williams, I expect to commit to Mississippi State by Thursday night. I feel very confident
listening
about
to this podcast. Yeah,
I don't want to. I don't want the kiss of death, but I feel very confident about Aiden Williams as we sit here now. And we'll see on Evans. So Evans has the connection with Jeff Levy. He was actually committed to Oklahoma early on in his recruiting process. Not even really early on. It was going into his senior year. Ultimately flips to Georgia, but he knows Jeff Levy very well. Levy was a guy that recruited him to Oklahoma. He knows, you know, kind of the skill set that he has. And then Chad Bumpus obviously has built a good relationship with him. Mississippi State feels very confident about this. They need him. They desperately need him because he's a slot, and they don't really have a go-to slot right now. And I know numbers weren't super impressive at Georgia, but kind of a log jam there. I'm not a fan of their offense. I don't think it really brings out the strengths, especially in their slots. Mississippi State's offense does. The slot is the position that eats in Jeff Lebby's offense. So he can sell that to him. I think that he can bring out a lot of that in his game next season in this offense. Could be a breakout candidate. Again, it's purely upside for Evans and Williams as well. Both of those guys have done very little at their previous schools, but the upside there is very high, yeah, especially in this offense.
One thing that before we get out of here, though, let's just say Mississippi State ends up with all three of these guys, Chrysler, Evans, and Williams, right? Not seeing a lot of new names popping up as far as the cornerback position, as far as any other positions go for Mississippi State. Now, we've talked about it before. There's still games being played right now. Notre Dame players, Penn State players, Ohio State players, Texas players will be getting into the portals when their seasons end. There's no question about that. So some of those guys are just waiting, and maybe there's some names at Mississippi State, you know. I'm just saying maybe they came across them in conversation. I'm not saying anything, but I don't know. I don't know where State's looking at this cornerback
position. We hope.
They desperately need another guy there, but we'll have to see how that all pans out. All right. Monday show or Sunday afternoon, whatever it is, we'll be talking Mississippi State, Kentucky. We'll be looking ahead to, you know, so we'll see if we have some portal news to recap, plus a little bit more as we go. Also, next week is 30 days till the start of the baseball season. Might have to talk a little MSU baseball next week. I think it's time to start thinking about what we're going to be thinking about when it comes to the Diamond Dogs in 2025. But that's for next week. You guys have a great weekend. Please, again, come by the Two Brothers and meet us. We'll be there with the Tip-Off Society. It's going to be a lot of fun and a chance to get some good food before we head over to the hump for Mississippi State versus Kentucky. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Walk down the street and land the other way. Back free in Atlanta, DA. Back free in the whole USA.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.